Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. So today I have with me Aziz. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. Give us a little bit about you, what it is that you do, and kind of how you got into it.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I want to say thank you, Catherine, for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be here. A little bit about me. I've been in real estate for almost 20 years. When I first started in real estate, I bought my first property at the age of 23. And that was my intro into real estate.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm 40 now, going on 41. Birthday is coming up in June. So anyone feel free to send me birthday gifts. But I bought my first property at that point. I didn't buy a house. I bought a multi-unit. I did a lot of studying and research on property, and I knew a house wasn't going to be directly the route that I wanted to start with. For one, I wanted to take advantage of first-time buyer program twice. And especially when I was, buying at that time, things were a whole lot easier, I would say, and less restrictions on guidelines than it is now. So, my other main reason for buying a multi-unit property was because I wanted to reduce my living expenses. So okay. I lived in one unit, and then rented the other unit, and that took care of the majority of the mortgage payment. I also knew that if I bought a property, a house as my first property, it was definitely going to be harder to buy another property and utilize 3.5% down, first time buyer, etc. So I was actually able to use that twice when I bought my next property, because I ended up refinancing the first property and turning that conventional. And then I was able to go back in with a second property and go FHA again. So I kind of took advantage of that. And then at that time, it was 2008. So there was a real downturn in the market. So I took advantage of properties when they were cheap. And then, they ended up getting some equity, gaining some equity in it. And then I sold a profit at that point. I did some fix and flip along the way as well. But about 8 years ago, I decided to get my real estate license, which I wish I had done that from the very beginning. People told me, they told me to get my real estate license, but I really didn't want to be a real estate agent, to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it was going to be my thing. And so even though I was giving a lot of people advice about real estate, I said, no, it's not going to be for me. I don't want to drive people around in my car, things like that. It's just like, I don't want awkward silence.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I got into the business and realized I don't really drive anybody around, so that was like a big aha when I first started the business. What I expected it to be, it wasn't. And so I got my real estate license about 8 years ago, and I did that because I wanted to sell a couple of my properties. I was doing well in my 9-to-5 career. I had a salary position. I got to the point where I was a little bit bored, and I knew how to do my job with, my eyes closed, one hand tied behind my back, blindfolded.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was like, I gotta add something else to it. And so I said, well, I'm gonna just go get my real estate license. And if I sell about 4 or 5 homes a year, because that's on average, according to the National Association of Realtors, is about 6 deals on average per year per agent. So I said, well, if I can do, 6 deals, if that's the average, then, there's probably a lot of people doing like 2, right?
Yeah.
If I can do like 4 or 5, I'm crushing it, right? So I said, I'll use the extra money. I pay my dues. I'll use the extra money, take another vacation for the year, you know, a car, pay off a car or something like that. That was my really my own, only goal, and to sell my properties because I just didn't want to pay a realtor and so I make some extra money. And when I got into the business, I ended up selling, like, I put my house on the market right away. My property, I had a building, one of the buildings. I was going to do them one at a time. And I put my first property on the market. And I end up selling about seven homes before I even sold my own.
Oh,
So,
wow.
yeah, so that was a real, like, okay, wake up call that, yeah, I could really probably be successful in this business. So I went on first year part time to sell about 17 transactions in my first year. And then I guess the real aha moment is when I got my check, my first check. And I closed my first deal. And at the time, my managing broker, he gave me the check because I had to go into the office. It was a boutique brokerage. I had to go into the office to pick up the check. They didn't even have a direct deposit or anything of that nature. And he handed me my check. And I said, okay, what else do I have to do? And he was like, that's it. And I was like, so I can go and cash this. He's like, yes. And I don't have to give you any more money. And I don't have to do anything else. He's like, you're done. You're done. And I was like, that's it. You know, so for me, it, you know, coming from a background of where I've had jobs working in construction, you know, working with my hands and building houses. And my first career coming out of, you know, high school and some college, because I didn't graduate with a bachelor's or a master's or any of that. I did some vocational and, you know, I end up working as a mechanic at Toyota. Right. So I did that for a while. And so everything was with my hands, like backbreaking work. That's what I had been used to. So when I got into real estate and, you know, I moved from that. I had one more other, my last career before real estate, I started getting out of the backbreaking work, but it was still sometimes a lot like on your feet, right? Or a lot of brain power that had to be used, you know? But real estate was just so simple. Yeah, we wear multiple hats. We're the friend, we're the counselor, we're, you know, the consultant, the advisor, you know, the one that keeps everybody calm and keeps everything together. Yes, we have to do a lot of that. But compared to the other careers that I had, when I got the check, I was just like, no, this is just too easy. So that fired me up once I completed my first transaction. And then it was just, you know, just elevating from there. So in my second year, I actually went full time. I decided to go full time.
Okay.
You know, and I just calculated measure. It wasn't jump off a cliff and hope your parachute opens. It was not that. I know a lot of people say, you know, you just got to take the leap of faith and hope your parachute opens. Well, I didn't do that. You know, I brought the business to in my career so closely together that actually going to work, it made me start losing money. I was losing money by being at work.
Okay.
Right? So I said, okay, now I'm pulled instead of trying to jump into something, you know, and hope I land on my feet. It was actually, it actually pulled me away. That's how closely I ran them together. And that year, you know, I really went all in. I did 54 transactions in that year.
Wow.
In my market, right? I wish I was in a California market, but in my market, that was 11 million in sales volume with 54 transactions. So that put me at top 5% in the nation out of over a million agents. I also got my managing broker's license in that same year. And I actually started my own office. But as we spoke, and as you know, and as we are from the same, you know, family, you know, I saw the light and I transitioned my business over to eXp Realty because it just made more sense. So that's really my start of how I got into the business, my kind of my evolution. And, you know, we're still building at eXp as well. So and that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I love that. And I love the fact that you did the opposite of what a lot of people do in the entrepreneurial world. Because I do hear that a lot amongst realtors or coaches or anyone getting into any type of role where they go into business for themselves, that people do say, well, just jump in for it, right? And I don't feel like that works for everyone. And for some of us, that's such a huge leap that it scares us so much that we almost step halfway out and then try to crawl back to fix what we've done. And I think that's a lot of reasons why people don't fail forward in their goals, is because they took such a huge risk and fear. And instead of trying to figure out what actually worked best for them to take those next steps, they took advice from the people all over, you know, that say, this is what you should do, versus like what you were saying you did. You worked really close to put your goals together, and that worked best for you. And I love that. So what was the thought process or the mindset behind that when you were deciding to make the decision to just continue part-time and stay in with a regular career before making the leap into being an entrepreneur?
Well, my mindset was, I'm not crazy. For me, and I'm not saying this is for everybody, but for me, I said, that would be crazy. That would be insane for me to do that, right? Mm-hmm. I had a salary position. I got 5 promotions in 4 years at the position that I was in. Quality control manager. I was running 3 shifts. Decent salary, right? Now, when I went full time, because I had prepped myself and I built a foundation, I was able to triple that income, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, it was, you know, that would be insane to just risk it all. You know, it would be a gamble, right? And I'm not a gambling man. I don't go to Vegas and try to get rich. You know, I might buy some lottery tickets here and there. But, you know, I think more so like slow and steady wins the race. You know, they've taught us this since kindergarten. Right. They start us with the short story of the rabbit and the turtle. Right. Yep. And the rabbit is just full of energy, has the ability and go fast and all of that, but gets distracted along the way. But one thing we know is turtle, you know, as long as they just stay persistent, they'll win that race. So I actually did a training. It's funny that we're on this topic, because I actually did a training. I got like some notes right here from a training that I did last night for my team. And I titled this training, Stay Persistent But Patient, right? We want to hurry up and win, right? But no team wins the championship or the Super Bowl or the Wimbledon, even if they're solo, right? Or even in boxing. Yeah, it's one match, but you have to fight so many fights in order to get to that championship or title match, mm-hmm. right? So why should we do it, you know, anything different within our business? Everything in this world kind of flows and has a natural pattern of evolvement, right? Mm-hmm. Of evolution. And so why would we try to do something different? There's a saying, they're a pioneer, right? Like back in the old times, right? Columbus days or whatever. They were saying, you know, I want to be a pioneer. Well, then they said that the Indians would say, well, pioneer is dead man with arrows in his back, right? Like if you journey into a territory that you don't know, and you just going and you trying to create new tracks, you might not make it out. And like you said, now you're trying to crawl back, you know, and correct your mistakes. But sometimes people are not able to recoup, to crawl back, right? Yeah. So that was probably the biggest mindset that I have. And I've had individuals that have been through that. And they came and they started working with me. And they told me the story of individuals telling them to jump, take the leap, right? And, mm-hmm. and I felt like people were telling some of the individuals that for selfish reasons, because they were wanting this individual to produce more so that they could gain more. Yeah. And I felt like the information that was given was biased, or it was self-serving. And I told them, I would have never told you to do that. I would have told you, bust your butt, you know, and work the full-time job and be full-time in your part-time, You know, if you're going to give 4 hours or 3 hours a day to your business, then truly give 3 to 4, like truly lock in, no distractions. I would have said that. I would have said maybe you might not get 8 hours of sleep a day, right? I would have said that, but I would have never recommended that these individuals quit their 9-to-5 job and take a leap.
Yeah.
Without a
I love
net.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting too, because when you were talking about how you made the decision to go full time in your part time while you still had your regular job, you also already had the goals in mind. And it sounds like you had a plan of action for how you wanted to move forward. I think that's another piece that a lot of people are missing, whether they decide to take the leap or decide that they want to stay in a job and then try to transition into the entrepreneurial world, is they forget to create that plan of action to get them to those next steps. Because it's very easy, right, to stay in that full-time job while working something else and be like, this is too much, this is too hard, I'll just stay with what's easy. But if you have a plan in place, a plan of action that continues to move you towards your future goals, it's a lot easier to be like, okay, I'm only in here so much longer. I'm this much closer to getting where I want to be, right? And you can use that either way. You can use that if you decide to take a leap, as long as you have a plan of action, don't jump in blind, or the other way around where you work into it slowly.
Yeah, I always say a risk is a risk, but a risk is not a risk when it's calculated, right? When a risk is calculated, it's no longer a risk. It's a plan, right? So yes, after building that foundation, I did know my numbers. I did know my return on investment. I did know how much time I was putting in to get, how many people I had to talk to, you know, actually get individuals that could get pre-approved, who could then, you know, actually go out and purchase a home. What all of those numbers look like. How many people did I have to talk to in order to get pre-approvals, in order to get a closed deal? Right. I knew my numbers, and I said the only other thing that I can do now is add more time to my business or scale and bring in more individuals into my business, growing a team, an office, a downline, however you want to phrase it. It's either one or two things. I either put more time into it or I build and scale and utilize the time that they have in part-time, and we all do this thing together and scale the business and grow it that way. So that was two ways, you know, that I could have chose to grow it. And so it was definitely calculated, and it was not necessarily, it was a risk, but the risk was, you know, reduced, drastically reduced versus if I had no plan.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love that you say that too, that a risk isn't necessarily a risk once it's calculated, because it does kind of help break down the fear, because then it goes back to the risk is more of a feeling of uncomfortable, of something that's unknown because you haven't done it before, versus a big giant hole that you leap into and hope you can somehow find the bottom, right? Yeah. So I do love that that you have that mindset of looking at it from that perspective, because a lot of people miss those steps. I feel like those are the most important in-between steps, and a lot of us miss that when we're shooting for our dreams. And that's the reasons why we fall back into old patterns or old habits or stay with that old job, is because of those small steps right there, is those calculated risks, like you said.
It's definitely a big difference in, you know, when you're talking about fear, when you're taking a leap, when you have no foundation, you've got no numbers, anything to like compare this to, and now it's emotion and lack of foundation.
But
the other side of fear is, the fear of the unknown. But when you have a foundation and the numbers to combat that fear, okay, now it's not so much of fear that's holding you back. And, and because you know, you have, there's less unknowns versus, but then there's that other hurdle as well. Someone has the numbers, because there's probably someone who's going to be listening to this. They have the numbers. They have the ROI. They know their stuff, right? But they still have that fear in making the leap. And I would tell those individuals, if you have the numbers to back what you're doing, right? And you have a plan to scale your business, whether it's you putting more time into it, into what's already working for you and you need more time, or if you need to scale and grow your business by, you know, bringing on some individuals into your business, whether it be other real estate agents, and you take a percentage of the deal that closes versus all of the commission. And that's one way you scale, or whether you bring on other administration to help scale the business as well. But each individual has to look at their own situation and see what's needed, because it's not cookie cutter. It's not cookie cutter. It's not a one size fits all for everyone, right? And they have to really look at what they're doing, or get with someone who has the experience to kind of break down what they're doing, and say, hey, this might be your next best play or your next best move.
That right there is a very powerful one that a lot of people forget, is finding someone who's already been through it, who's already done it, who already has the knowledge, and have the conversation with them, or hire them, right? Find you a coach, find you a business partner, find someone that can help bring you to the level that you want to be. Stop trying to do it all on your own and hope that you're going to figure it out, or buy all the courses from all the people that you keep watching or you never finished, right? So that you just stay in this cycle of paralysis. Find those people, connect with those people, and learn from them. I think a lot of us get stuck in that I have to do it myself mode, or the mode of, oh, well, they're gonna think less of me. They're not gonna, you know, think I can do this, or I'm embarrassed because I'm not where they are. They all started from the same spot. Everyone started from the ground. Nobody was born being an entrepreneur. Now, some people had, right, different lives that allowed them to be in a certain field, to have a little bit more expertise than other people. But if you find someone that is in the area that you want to be, and they do look down on you, then that's not the person for you. Any person that has made it to the place where you want to be, those people are looking to help those that are ready to get to that level. We're looking for those people that we can bring up, because that's what it's all about. And we still understand and remember what it was like to be at the bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to tell you a story on that topic. So I love to watch championship games, right? Yes, for the excitement, you know, who's going to win. It's the big match, it's the championship game, it's the Super Bowl, et cetera, right? Boxing matches, whatever the case may be, championship caliber games. I love to watch them, right? I love to be there if I can. But one of the main reasons why I love to watch them is because I want to see what the champions say at the end, right? So this was the Super Bowl that I was watching. And I was waiting for Tom Brady to speak, okay? Because Tom Brady is the GOAT, right? He's the GOAT, right? So I'm waiting for Tom Brady to speak. Highly disappointed. Tom Brady gives me nothing.
I watched that one. I was expecting a lot more from him.
Tom Brady gives me nothing, right? But I'm continuing to watch it. Oh well, right? So then I think the GM came on, the owner of the team came on, and then they asked him some questions or something like that. And he said, well, they said, what contributed to you guys winning the championship and all of that? You guys went and got Tom Brady, etc. And he was like, when I was a kid, my grandfather always told me, if you want to know the road ahead, go get someone that's been there, right? And that's what we did, and we went and got Tom Brady, and we got a championship today. So that I always, that hit me hard right there.
I love that.
Yeah. So major gem right there.
Yeah. For sure. And I missed that part. I think it's probably because I turned it off after he spoke.
He's disappointed. Oh, it's over with, right?
No, I absolutely love that. And it's so true. And it's funny, too, because we hear analogies like that all the time, but it's like it doesn't stick. That's like the one about when you're driving down the road and you have your GPS on, right? And it's dark outside. You trust your GPS to get you to where you're going, right? And so you can only see 15 feet in front of you, but you trust that. So why can't we trust in other people and use them as our GPS to help us get where we want to go, versus going down a solo road where we have no clue where we're going and hoping that we're going to find it, not even having a map.
Yeah. At a time, there wasn't a GPS. actually, remember? And they actually, people had to actually pull over on the side of the road or
and
honk a
ask
horn next
questions.
to people and flag them down, hey, and roll down the window or stop in a gas station. I remember that as a kid, you know, when we traveling across the country and we blowing horns at people, where is such and such? And thank you, you know, and we allow people to lead us in that sense, you know, as our GPS. But when it comes to our business, right, and sometimes even with our personal finances, we want to do it by ourselves. Right?
Yeah.
We go to a doctor, we disclose all the information. We go to a lawyer, we're taking all the advice. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. But when it
Very
comes to
true.
Our business and our finances, we'll say, I got it. I can just do it by myself. I don't know why. Like you said, it might be a sense of pride. I don't know what it is. But yeah, that's probably one of the biggest flaws that an entrepreneur can have.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. And I love that you use the examples of an attorney or a doctor and things like that. I didn't even think about that. But we do a lot of professionals, right? People that we consider professionals, we just bleed out whatever it is. But those that already have the knowledge of the places we want to be, for some reason, we do hold back. So I love that. Now, you said something about the financial side. So I know that that's something else that you do in your business as well, correct? That you've been growing. So tell me about this. What does this entail, or what are your thoughts or your plans for financial consultations, right?
Yeah. So we got a pretty large team on the financial coaching side as well. I kind of got into that because, you know, we get a lot of clients that get denied due to their personal credit, right? And our time is money at the end of the day. And if we spend our time and we're talking to individuals and they can't get a pre-approval, and then we just say, bye-bye, see you later, sorry, come back next year, right?
Yeah.
Then that could be money walking out the door. Plus, that's another person that you just can't help. Because I truly believe as real estate agents, we are changing lives. We are changing generations. So I truly do believe that. I do think we're just as important as doctors, lawyers, firefighters, policemen. I do feel like that because we're helping people gain home ownership, right?
Yeah.
And I firmly believe an individual's life, especially as a child, can change depending on the environment they grow up in. So I work with a lot of people too that they're living in environments that are not the best environments, are not at the best income bracket. And we know statistically when there's a lower or poverty line within the community, typically there's more violence, right? So if I can help somebody move up out of their situation and get into a better environment, a better school district, I'm important. I'm an important piece to the puzzle. Right.
Yeah.
We are an important piece to the puzzle. So I wanted to help more people. So originally, when I first got into this financial aspect, it was for credit restoration.
OK.
And since then, it has evolved. So now we can help individuals with not only repairing their personal credit, and we do it guaranteed results, risk-free guaranteed results or money back. Right. So that's something that you don't really see in credit restoration. Right. So people don't have to worry about, like, what if it doesn't work? Because credit restoration can be like sometimes a hit or miss. But if we don't get results, they get their money back. Right. So we got into that. But then also we help individuals build business credit, which is two separate things, you know, separate from their personal credit.
Yeah.
We also help individuals get business loans to expand their business. And also, within that realm of business loans, we could help people get real estate mortgage loans as well in their business EIN number, right? So yeah, personal loans as well, right? So, and a few other things, but you're really helping a client from start to finish at this point. I'm able to help them with their personal credit if needed, right? Help them to be able to purchase the home. A lot of individuals are like, hey, Aziz, after I buy this property, I want to buy an investment property. What's the next step? Well, let's get your LLC established, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start building credit in the business name. And then when it's time to buy, maybe you're thinking about buying 1 year, 2 years down the line. Now you can buy this property solely in your business name, completely separate from your EI, from completely separate from your Social Security number and solely under your EIN, right? So we really helped them all the way through in these processes to really start building a foundation. So
I
really enjoy that. And it fits right in line with what I'm doing in real estate. So it's not like it's two separate businesses. It all coincides. And it just really, I'm still just running in one lane.
I love that. Now, do you work only with people that are in your state, or can you help with outside of the states? How does that work?
Yeah, we can do all 50 states. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. So we can do all 50 states. And we are still looking to grow the team as well, you know, on the financial coaching side. And as you are growing your team on the real estate side, we are growing our team on the real estate side as well. So, yeah, and we can work with individuals in all 50 states.
I love that. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for all of the information and all of your time here. And I know that you already gave me some amazing quotes, but one thing that I always like to end with is if there is any type of positivity or a quote that you find yourself going back to that you feel like you could give to the audience that could help them.
Oh man,
I get so many people on this one. It's fun.
Yeah, you're trying to stump me. I mean, I say so many different things. I gave one of stay persistent, but stay patient. I gave that one earlier. I guess it won't be necessarily a quote, but how about I just give some advice?
Sure.
Okay, if that works. It's not a 5-day game plan. It's not a 5-month game plan, not a 5-week game plan, not a 5-month game plan. Think about your business as a 5-year game plan, right? And don't expect the business to blow up overnight. Don't compare yourself to other individuals because they may have a different background that they come from. They may have other businesses that they've started, right?
Yeah.
Build your foundation. Right. Come in and really, truly learn the business. You know, I did very well in my first year, but I did very well in my first year, I believe, is because I wasn't expecting to do well. I was expecting to learn. I was expecting to soak up the knowledge. I was expecting to just dive in and get my foundation, you know, and just really build a house.
Yeah.
You know, start with the slab or the basement before you try to put the roof on. You got to put the walls up, everything right there. So I expected that any money that I invested in my first year was going to be for a learning experience to build my business. And I really dug in into my systems and the KV core and, you know, all the systems that we have. I really dug into those things. Whenever I received the resources, I dug into them. And I think that's what helped me set the foundation to be successful in this business. So it's not a 5-day game plan, not a 5-week, not a 5-month. It's a 5-year game plan. Take the first 2 months in your business to really learn the process. Don't go straight into prospect. Really learn the process. Don't worry if it takes you, you know, 6 months to really learn everything. Because when you look at 5 years, 2 to 3 or 4 or 5, 6 months is going to be a small drop in the bucket compared to how long you're going to be in this business. Because likely it's going to be 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 years. Take 6 months, take 3 months, just really dive into learning. Don't be so ready to make a sale, build a foundation. Because once you start, you're not going to want to go back to those fundamentals. So get them in early.
Very, very true. I absolutely love that. And I think that a lot of people do miss that, is that sense of learning, because they want to dive in for those quick results, right? We live in a society where we are always looking for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, instead of realizing, especially when you're building something that is for your life, that is to improve your livelihood, it doesn't happen overnight. I know a lot of people hear it, but I feel like there's a lot of people rolling their eyes listening to me say this right now too. But it doesn't happen overnight. And the more that you wish and want it to, the longer it's going to take to see those results.
Yep. It's not instant. It's not instant oatmeal. No. It's not instant coffee or instant coffee or cocoa or instant rice. If we'll go to a 9-to-5 job and work for a decade, before we really get the position that we want, we got to give our business that same respect and that same time and that same effort.
Very, very true. I super appreciate that because I do feel like a lot of people need to hear that one. So Aziz, please tell us, where can people follow you? How can they connect with you and be in your world?
Okay. One link only. Okay. www.coachaziz.info. www.coachaziz.info. You can find all my links, all the information to me, YouTube, everything about me. FBI knows where to find me if they have that link. Everything's there.
Perfect. Well, hopefully the FBI will leave you alone. But I appreciate your time so much. And thank you so much for your knowledge. And congratulations on where you're going with your business and where you have been. And to everybody else that's out there, I hope you got some amazing takeaways. And please don't forget, do one positive thing for somebody else each and every day. And I promise you will see a change in your own life. So until next time, thank you guys so much for being a part of the podcast and have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.